Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I just have to have a quick look up my notes and see where to begin, because I have so many things to speak on. Where should I begin today? There has to be some kind of order. I thought I had it all worked out. That's what you get when you think you've got everything worked out. Krishna always shows you. You're not as smart as you think. Okay, I've been talking these last few days, Radha Katha. Usually we talk Krishna Katha. There are divisions of Krishna Katha, so one of them is Radha Katha. And you may wonder why I've been speaking so much on this topic. Well, the obvious answer is, don't all shout at once, because it was Radhashtami. You're learning so much big philosophy, so many shlokas. And yeah, it's quite a few days past Radhashtami, and still the topics are going on. I didn't expect to speak so much time, so many days on this topic, but it is suitable because here, the ISKCON Center here in Salem, South India, the main service of the devotees is building a house for Radha. Radha and Krishna. Not just Krishna. People in the town and even all around. Narayan Prabhu told me he was driving near to Namakkal, and a policeman stopped him. He said, what are you doing? Where are you coming from? In this coronavirus time. Get stopped. So he said, I'm from ISKCON Salem. He said, so you're building a temple there. So people know we're building a temple for Krishna. But it's not just a temple for Krishna. People have heard of Krishna, not so much of Radha. This temple for Radha and Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhan Saraswar Thakur said that people in South India, they know Lakshmi Narayana. They know Sita Ram. They don't know Radha Krishna. They know Krishna. Of course, they've heard of Radha and Krishna, that Radha Kalyanam. Did you used to do that in your home? That's the Smarta tradition, not the Vaishnava tradition. The Smarta tradition, they celebrate marrying Radha to Krishna. In Tamil Nadu Smartas, I don't know if other states they do that. I think only in Tamil Nadu. That means, yeah. Rasaraj Prabhu, who's Tamil Brahmin, Iyengar. You don't know him. You should know him. He told me that he's mostly in America these days. So he told me that one couple, a Smarta couple in America, Prabhupada met them. those days there were not nearly so many Indians in America, especially South Indians. Whoever was there was mostly North Indians. So Rasaraj told me that this couple told him that they used to do Radha Kalyanam, but when they came to America they stopped. And Prabhupada met them and said, you should do Radha Kalyanam. Marriage ceremony for Radha and Krishna. They don't know kirtan. He said they know archan, but they don't know kirtan. And we're making a temple, but there will be many features which are unusual for South Indian people, beginning with Radha and Krishna. They're not used to that. I think, and there's no traditional temple anywhere in South India of Radha and Krishna, because the Sampradayas down here don't worship Radha and Krishna. Now there is in Chennai, very, very beautiful ISKCON temple. Is there any other places in saw Radha Krishna? Do you know Tirunelveli, maybe Madurai, Coimbatore? No, I don't think Coimbatore. They have Jagannath there. So anyway, it's something definitely new for the people of Salem. And in Bangalore, we have, but I mean, in Tamil Nadu, Srila Prabhupada established Radha Krishna in Hyderabad. And of course, Hyderabad, it's better known, maybe due to it's a cosmopolitan place. So many North Indians are there. Anyway, there's so many new things for them. And the Kirtan, of course, Kirtan, it's not that it's unknown in South India, but especially this daily Kirtan with dancing, and the arati is not just everyone standing with their hands folded, but jumping and dancing and Kirtan, it's all new for them, something new, and we trust they'll be very appreciative of that and join with us in that also. And that's the best way of worship. Sankirtan Yajna. You just had a Yajna here, training Yajna. Mm-hmm. Boys are getting trained how to do Yajnas. So that's why we've all got black spots on our heads. We're all, I was talking Kalankini, Radha, the name, so now we're all Kalanki. We've got all marks on our head. So this is making a house for Radha. House means, we've been talking, quoting Krishna, Kangsarapi Sangsara Vasana Baddha Shrinkala. Even though he's the killer of Kangsa, and the mosquito is not killing me, but harassing. Even though he's the killer of Kangsa, he is bound up with the chain of deep-rooted desires for enjoyment. Sangsara, that word is generally used as material enjoyment. At least in North India, people, householders, especially if they're talking to a sannyasi, they may refer to themselves as a sangsari. Sangsara also means family life. It's equated with material life. That probably comes from Shankaracharya, who had the idea that if you are going to get liberated from this material world, then you have to take sannyas. So as long as you're married, then no hope of mukti. Krishna Shankar Koro Charyanacha Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He recommends enter Krishna's sangsar, enter Krishna's family, and no nonsense activities. Give that up. So this is Radha's house. We may say the man is the master of the house. That's for formality, but the queen of the home, the mistress of the house, practically it's her affair. The man goes outside, he does so. But the household affairs are for the wife. Nowadays they're trying to change all this with making men do the housework and all these kind of things. But women are naturally inclined to do that kind of thing, this housework. They're very interested in having a house and then children and all the chattels of household life. So this is Radha's, but Radha arranges all these things for the pleasure of Krishna. So a house is needed for that. Radha is on the altar being worshipped formally, but her main place is where? In the kitchen. That you know, at least among the Vaishnavas. Maybe the smartest say that also, that in the kitchen. If someone is a very good cook, lady, who says, blessed by Lakshmi. Lakshmi is cooking. She's actually cooking. Sometimes in Bengal, I would say that to some devotee, oh, your cooking is very good. So I didn't do it. It's Radha's blessing. That's her place is in the kitchen. That's, so we can see that Rasik Shekhar Prabhu, Gokul Chandra, they're attracted to serve there. That's Radha's place, because she has so many qualities by which she attracts Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that the two most are her beauty, her dancing. In her dancing, her beauty is seen, of course, and her cooking. These are the two things that most attract Krishna. It's making a place for Radha, Radha's house. Krishna doesn't need a house. He's Atmarama. He's happy in himself. Apta Kama. All his desires are automatically fulfilled. Then you may say, well, he doesn't need Radha. Don't say that. Oh, that's a very, very offensive thing to say. It's worse than to Arjuna. You don't say you throw away your Gandiva. He'll kill you. So don't say to Krishna, you don't need Radha. No one will dare to say such a thing. But you may say, well, maybe the Mayavadis will say. He's up to karma, all his desires are fulfilled. But then how are he, it's not just they're fulfilled, but he wants them fulfilled specifically through Radha. Without her, he doesn't feel fulfilled. So you're all working very hard, and you're working hard, you're building. People at the back are also working hard building. But your consciousness and their consciousness is not the same, right? They're building. They're doing, the owner of the land, he's building so he can make some profit, hoping that so many people will come and live around the temple. We also hope. Or maybe he'll make a guest house, I don't know what it is. It's apartments, isn't it? He wants to put them out on rent. So he's doing, and then the people are working, they're not working out of love for Radha and Krishna like you're working. They're working because they're day laborers. They get paid daily, I presume. You pay your worker, no, because they're on-site workers, right? So you pay them, what, weekly or something? Weekly, yeah. And daily labor, you know, daily labor means that they work in the day and whatever they earn, they drink at night. I guess they keep something for their family. That's generally. So your consciousness is very different. It's not just that you're not drinking, but you're thinking that we're making this house for Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, why would you do it? Why would you work hard, dawn to dusk? Why would you do it? What's the motivation? You're doing it for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And they reciprocate. And you become very happy. So we'll worship Radha and Krishna, if they so desire to appear. They haven't come yet. You're working so hard and nicely, and will they come? Will they be pleased to come? Just like we want that Radha and Krishna to sit in a singhasan in our heart, but will they come? Will they be pleased to come? Our heart has to be very pure. Then they were very pure means only desiring to serve them. Then they will be pleased to come. So you can build a temple also for prestige. People sometimes, in fact, it's possible that we see here in South India so many big temples, and there used to be in North India so many big temples until someone had a different idea of religion and thought that We can become very religious by destroying temples. But those who build them, there may have been some question of prestige also. There may be, even as we're building temples in our ISKCON, someone says, well, I have to do a better temple than the one 200 kilometers away. There may be some thought. Of course, that may be also transcendental competition. Let me do something better for Krishna. But really, if we want Radha to come very happily, then we have to do without any personal motivation, as you are doing. And we'll worship in the mode of Lakshmi Narayana. That's we're told by Srila Prabhupada to do. The style of worship is that of Lakshmi Narayana. No, not the mode of, not the style of worship of Radha and Krishna. But we should know that this is Radha and Krishna. For the public and for our own spiritual benefit, when we're not on the platform of totally spontaneous service, we should worship in a regulated way. But we should know that this is Radha and Krishna. Even in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada named the deities Rukmini Dwarkadish, but he used to refer to them as Radha and Krishna. In London, the first big deities of Radha and Krishna, and they're not very big actually, they're little children they look like. It used to be at the Berry Place Temple, it was so... The whole temple was less than half the size of this, and we'd have like 60 devotees regularly, Mangalati, dancing is up and down, not back and forward. So they're so close that you could almost, if you're at the front, you can almost shake hands with Krishna. Pujari's just got enough, he's hardly got enough room to turn around. Actually, it's mostly the lady devotees at that, still. So, Srila Prabhupada said about Landanishwara, he gave this name, Landanishwara. You may think, what name will he give? Radha Govinda, Radha Giridhari, Radha Sham. No, he gave the name Radha Landanishwara. And in Paris, he gave the name Radha Pari Ishwara. So he said that Krishna, he's Landanishwara, he's not a deity. He's Krishna pretending to be a deity. I don't know what that means. Prabhupada knows, Krishna knows, Radha knows. But the deity is Krishna. Ah, pratimanaha tumi shakat brajendra nandan. This Brahmin, young Brahmin from South India, told the deity of Gopal in Vrindavan, who later became famous as Sakshi Gopal. He said, now he said to the deity, look, you have to come with me. You have to come with me to, I have to walk back and you have to come with me. And Gopal said to him, well, I never heard of a devotee walking. He said, if you can talk, you can walk. Come. You're bound by legal obligation. So he had to come. So devotees, they see Krishna everywhere. And that's a reason why the Mayavadi rascals, they'll say, why do you build the temple? Krishna is everywhere. He's everywhere. He's in the temple also. So why not come to the temple? Well, there's a formal arrangement to worship him. You're working very hard, and in the back of your mind, it may not be, maybe looking at the measurements and the cutting and supervising the workers, but in the back of your mind, always thinking that this is a temple for Radha that we are building. Now, the example is there in the Shastra that a woman, especially said about a paramour woman, that she may work on her household duties very nicely, but she's always thinking of her lover. So you may be engaged in material activities, seemingly material activities, bargaining for the price of stone and this and that. But the people you're dealing with, they have some idea, yeah, it's a temple and something, but they don't know that you're meditating on how we have to do this all for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Now, in this regard, I want to talk about an incident that happened just a few days ago here, and there are so many incidents, and you may be, I wouldn't know anything about it because I was sleeping. Well, it went on from about 7 o'clock in the evening to 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't hear anything or know anything about it, but I was told later by Gokul Chandra, and he can tell the whole story in great detail, but I'll just tell it, and you probably all know about it, maybe not the Gurukul boys, I don't know whether you know about it. It's the crane, and here I'm not talking about Bakasura. This crane is a good crane. He's a good crane. Actually, this crane, should some jiva should enter him and give him a garland or something. They do that, right? They put garlands on the, I'm always digressing, don't mind. This Maheshwara Prabhu, my godbrother, he lives in California. He was living in Calcutta. This must have been 1978, I believe. So he made the first big Rathiatra in Calcutta. He made a Rathiatra card. He'd assisted Jayananda Prabhu in New York making Rathiatra cards, so he was confident he could do it. So the Rathiatra card means the Ratham, you say. And so all the crowds came, and because he was used to do it in New York, where you have pull slowly, this, that, but it's a Bengali crowd, and they jerk the whole rat as fast. It's not supposed to go fast, and they jerked it round the car. It's not supposed to go very carefully around the car. Oh, the wheels buckled, and they were stopped. They couldn't go anywhere. So then he was, couldn't think what to do. And he just went up, and just the whole thing is spoiled. And Jayanta Maharaj pulled him down and said, "You got to do something." The wheels are buckled. I come. So he thought and thought, and then he thought about these tow vans. They have the big hook and they pull the trucks. So he thought, "Let's try one. Let's get one of them." So after about 2 hours, they brought one. In the meantime, where's the hook going to go? So he's making a big hole in the front of the rat so the hook can go in. And the tow van comes, and in the meantime, the people, they got all flower garlands and decorated the tow van. It's not just an ordinary tow van anymore. It's engaged just like Garuda now. Garuda enters. So anyway, the crane. You all know the story of the crane. I'll repeat it. And no doubt you could all tell it much better than me. So a crane, we have two cranes, the big crane and the baby crane. And the baby crane's also a lot, not small, but it's a small in comparison. Just like we may say a small mountain. If we go to the Alps in Europe, and devotees, they're so high. What's this? When you've been to the Himalayas, and they just look like little babies, the Alps. So a small crane and a big crane. And the big crane being used, and then cloudbursts, torrential rains, and the big crane, with the suddenly all the earth beneath it becomes soft, and the crane starts sinking sideways. Very dangerous for the driver inside. The whole situation was very dangerous. The driver inside, the crane itself, couldn't say for sure exactly what happened, but it was likely to be severely damaged. And then, what would you do? Where's the nearest crane repair shop? Does any such thing exist? I mean, not that kind of severe structural damage would be to the boom, right? Mostly to the boom, but you don't know the whole thing. You don't know what would happen. The wheels, the axles. So that was one thing. Another thing, that it was going to fall into the carving of Krishna kidnapping Rukmini, and so that would be destroyed for sure. Maybe other ones also. So it was an emergency. This is 7 o'clock at night. Just when the work finishes, because working here from dawn to dusk, like people used to, we haven't floodlit the construction site. So it's dawn to dusk. So then after dusk, the devotees take a bath and catch up on their rounds, and so on. So what happened then, it was an emergency, and all devotees came running, and the news went out, and all the young grihastha men came. You see, I was saying, the women, they naturally work in the house, and the men, when there's something like this, they come. The women didn't come. The men, they have to come and help. So they came to see how they could help. I'm not saying the women, there's anything wrong with them, I'm just saying it's a natural thing, this is men's work. And women's work is in the house, and this kind of thing, that with cranes and machinery and all this kind of thing, it's men's work. So they ran out of their houses to see what could be done. And I was just thinking, it's just like when news of Krishna in Vrindavan, when the news, Krishna's been ensnared by Kaliya, then all the Rajvasis ran out of their houses, men and women, in this case. Whenever there was any news, oh, some demon has attacked Krishna, they'd run out of their houses. So just like that, they came running, the young Grihastha man. Now, and it became late, it took several hours to work this whole thing out. And none of them thought, let me sleep, let someone else do it. Anyway, what's the matter? I'll just sleep, I have to go to work tomorrow. I have to earn money for my family. They didn't think like that. I mean, we may think that, you see, we're all brahmacharis here, and we're all very advanced, and we know so many shlokas and all this, and these grihasthas, they're just working for their families. But at that time, they didn't think that. They, without thinking, nirvicharam, they just came, and there's some danger. Krishna's service. So very, this crane is very much, they all came running to see how they could help. And they did help. It needed many devotees to help with this. And so you can see that all the devotees were, at that time they forgot everything else. Rounds to chant, I didn't take prasadam, mosquitoes are biting, they're just fully intent on how we can save the crane from falling over. And it wouldn't have stopped the construction. Temporarily it may have stopped it, but it would have stopped it for some time, and then meanwhile I got the workers sitting around, and it'll take a lot of money, and so it would have been a big disaster. So Krishna arranged this. We can say the material energy arranged. Material energy is always putting obstacles in Krishna's service, but that's a way of showing how devotees are devoted. You can't say exactly so much how devotees are devoted by how many rounds they chant or how many shlokas they know. You have to see how they're ready to serve Krishna. This was spontaneous. Everyone came spontaneously, without thinking. So this is spontaneous devotional service. And Krishna gave all of you the intelligence what to do. What do you do in such a situation? The wheels on one side are off the ground, and the other one, the tire could burst, or the whole axle could have buckled. Or you don't know what's going to happen. It's very, very dangerous. Because the driver inside is one thing, then you're trying to get the small crane to pull the big crane, and the whole chain is likely to break and just go flying and hit the. There was a serious possibility of danger to life and limb. But no one thought that okay, I'm running up, I have to be safe. But they risked life and limb for the sake of Krishna. Now at that time, no one was, I doubt very much if you were thinking of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. I have to sit down and do my smaranam, I have to meditate on Krishna, what's Krishna doing? What's Krishna doing? He can do anything, but right now we have this to do. But that was intense meditation on Krishna. You must have been praying to Krishna. to help, but the main focus was on how to stop the crane rolling over. And eventually he brought another crane and put a big stone to stop, to got one big stone, that's because that's what the cranes are for, is lifting up this big stone to put in place them anyway, which are not in place. So put a big stone to stop the whole thing tumbling over. And there were so many things. I don't know the details. But even putting the stone, a very, very dangerous, the whole thing was very dangerous. But so you were thinking how to do it and how to get out of there alive also. And in that way, not directly thinking of Krishna, praying to Krishna, but the focus was on how to do this service. And that is Vrindavan. That's the mood. In Vrindavan, where the devotees, they may be churning butter, and they're thinking how to make the butter very nice. But why? Krishna. All their activities are for Krishna's pleasure. That, and you didn't sit down at the time and work it out in your minds. There wasn't any time for that. But this carving of Krishna stealing Rukmini, which is for the outside of the temple, right? It's in the outside. It's we're not going to be so traditional that we have vulgar scenes on the outside. That tradition, we'll leave that one. We're trying to do things in a traditional way, but we'll have Krishna stealing Rukmini, kidnapping Rukmini. That carving was there. So, well, how is that? What's the significance of that carving, apart from the pastime, but for yourselves? How for months you were meditating on that, which to put, which carvings to put, and then getting the stone, getting the carver, seeing that it's just exactly right. Why do you want exactly which scenes from Krishna's pastimes you're going to show? Meditating on the public are going to come and how you're going to tell them these are all the pastimes, and how the public will become Krishna conscious. They'll be by seeing this, getting the best carvers at the best price, getting the money, arranging for everything to be brought from Rajasthan, was it? You brought so many hassles, and now it's going to be smashed. And because there's a series of carvings, it'd be very difficult to get one with the same stone and the same style and exactly in sync. So I don't know if you consciously thought of all these things at the time, but unconsciously it was all there. This crane falling over, have to think of that. You might think, well, you should have known about the crane, that there's the dangers, and take precautions. Yeah, should have. But after all, we're all amateurs. None of you got trained in temple building. You have the Stapati there, that's the architect, right? The English translation is architect. But he's more, he gets involved a lot more, right? He's like architect plus higher level supervision, all these things of the actual construction. You're saying the Stapati may have known, but he didn't know about cranes. There's not in the Stapatya Shastra, the Vastu Shastra, I guess. There's nothing about crane maintenance and they didn't use cranes. They used elephants, right? It was mostly elephants, and I guess there was horses and donkeys and all kinds of, and human labor, of course, which is still going on out the back, traditional way of building. No, even in the West they use. Anyway, anyway. Krishna gave a lesson, crane safety. Of course, you didn't expect that there would be such, that's it, that's, material nature is always giving so many unexpected things, that there'd be such a downpour and the hard earth would become so soft. Anyway, now you know, Krishna gave a lesson, we should be more careful. Just like a couple of days ago I saw, who is that? Narayan and Srinidhi. They're not here because they're on the construction site. I saw them up there without their protective helmets on. So, better to be safe. It's a hassle wearing the helmet, no doubt, on your nicely shaved head. There's nothing to cushion it. You can put a little handkerchief or something. But it's a hassle, no doubt, but danger is there. We know with our Virachandra Prabhu, is that that he came to serve here in the Goshala, and after what, 2 days? Something, how long? After 2 or 3 months of serving, the bull attacked him and now he's crippled for life. Yeah, but you can't tell. The bulls are less predictable. It was a cow, huh? The cows are less predictable than cranes because they're animate, yeah. So they're generally very peaceful, these gear cows, but you can't tell. Some cows can be very aggressive. We used to have one in Nandagram. I gave the name Rudrani. One time I fed her chapatis. It was from just the, she was inside the Goshala. And then I fed her, and then she chopped, chopped, and then she attacked me. Because I was standing close enough that she could. So you don't know. So keep safe. The crane, there's only one incident. One incident of many, many, many. You were saying you could write a whole book about how it was built. So many incidents. Constant hard work, day after day after day. Very hard work. A lot of anxiety. This Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that the Vrajvasis, they used to work hard all day and then they'd sleep very nicely at night because they work so hard during the day. And so many anxieties. This person's going to cheat you, that they'll cheat you on the stone, they'll cheat you on the construction. If you don't watch the mysteries or the laborers, they'll take some shortcut. Every screw putting in, you have to supervise, because if they don't supervise, they won't put it in straight. So everything, the sandbags are delivered, you have to count them when they're loaded on the truck, and then again you have to count them when they're unloaded. And they're unloaded and they're 5 bags short, and they'll say, no, it's all, and they're just bluffing you. Or if you don't, you have to go with them, otherwise they'll change it to a lower quality sand. So many hassles, so much anxiety. But that will give, taking all this anxiety and hard work, that will attract Krishna's mercy more than sitting in Vrindavan chanting 64 rounds. And you can feel that. It may, of course, Haridas Thakur, he's not building temples. He's sitting and chanting all day. When we can chant on that level, then we can do it. Well, Prabhupada, he could do, of course. He could have sat in Vrindavan. He came and took the hassle. Why did he do so? Because that's what Krishna wanted at that time. Krishna likes if we sit in Vrindavan and just chant all day. If we can actually do so without the mind being disturbed, but being disturbed in this way is much better. Building these temples was very difficult in India. That Bombay temple especially was, it's a whole history, which now His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj has written a book about that, but it's only a summary. All the different hassles that they went through. It's day after day after day. Hardly anyone stayed there throughout the whole thing. Giriraj Maharaj was one of the great heroes who did so. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there as GBC in India at that time. Very, very difficult. And he said to Srila Prabhupada once, he said that See, even when I'm trying to chant my rounds, all I can think of is I have to go to the lawyer, and there's this hassle and that anxiety, and how can I chant my Prabhupada said, yeah, I have the same thing. Srila Prabhupada took so much anxiety. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he quit. And you may say, well, how could he do that? Prabhupada didn't want him to. But he actually fought, arguing heavily with Prabhupada. I want to quit. I can't take it anymore. And we shouldn't fault him for that because he was the only one who could take it, that role, for so many years. Several others had come. Karanda, Jagadish, Bhagawan, the description. Bhagawan came in. Yeah, Prabhupada, don't worry, I'm here now. He came in with all nice dhoti, all nicely pressed and everything. And the next day, he looked a little bit less smart. And the next, and within 5 days, he was gone. He just, when he saw, such a difficult job. And Prabhupada said, yeah, you can leave this service. I cannot. Because he'd promised to Ras Bihari, I'll build a temple for you here. And he did so. And at the end, Prabhupada said, it was a good fight. Literally there was fighting, and in the courts, and so many things. It was a really, really heavy thing. But he did it for Krishna. And he wanted his disciples to build temples. Actually, in India, he said at one point, we don't need more temples. Now you distribute books and preach. But in another place, he said, even early in the days of the movement, he said, we have one temple in Los Angeles. That was the first real temple we had. Otherwise, there were storefronts. So now we have a temple, and now you should, but don't be content with that, you should open temples in every town and village and home all over the world. So the anxiety is there. You don't know if it's actually going to happen until it's actually open. You don't know what's going to happen. As some great baseball player said, it ain't over till it's over. Until it's actually opened, you don't know what may happen. So there's always anxiety. Until it's open. And then there's another set of anxieties. It's not that the anxiety finishes. I know myself, I was just... We had in Baroda, the temple was only Krishna in the basement, and hardly anyone was coming at that time. ISKCON wasn't very well known, as it is today, now. Hardly anyone was coming, we had hardly any devotees, and then all of a sudden we got... Bhaskar Ghosh Prabhu got into action and collected money, and within about 2 years the temple was built. But we still had hardly any devotees. And I was wondering, how is it going to go on? There used to be, there was Bhaskar Ghosh and Vidura. And at one point they were having an ongoing argument. Because one man used to come every day just to use the latrine. And I can't remember who was saying what. I think Vidura said that he shouldn't allow him to come. He just comes in, poops and goes. And Bhaskar Ghosh was saying, well, at least someone's coming to the temple. So that was the situation. But overnight, on Janmashtami, which year was that? Do you know? Almost 30 years ago. I think about 29 years. I can't remember exactly. 98. It's not so long, only 22 years. So it went from being a nothing almost to then all of a sudden there's three altars, Gornitai, Radha, Krishna, Jagannath, Subhadra, Baladev, people were coming, and out of nowhere means Nityananda kidnapped them from here and there. And they brought devotees, and it's been going on ever since. And Sai Vilas has been the head pujari since day one, and he's still there. And so many have come and gone in the meantime. And Nityananda is there, Basu Ghosh is there, still there. So we're very hopeful, we're very excited, and we want to see it done, but it's going to be a lot of hard work still to go. There'll be many setbacks, many hassles, there are many dangers. Please be careful. Don't take it lightly. Wear your helmets. Study more safety precautions. And regularly you have to tell, just like you told, you have to put on the helmet, and then 2-3 days they put it, and again they don't put it. And actually the area should be cordoned off, not that anyone can come and look. That's, even in India they do that now. You can see that here. And the back construction. Not that any, only people can come in to the construction area who are involved in the construction. Because the people from, not nowadays because of the coronavirus, but otherwise people come and they look when the work's going on, and it's very, very dangerous. So you're already having kirtans, very blissful, because of your attitude of service. Krishna is reciprocating. He is happy to reveal himself in your hearts when you're performing kirtan. What kind of kirtan are you going to have on the opening day? I don't know, you'll probably all be busy here and there. Someone has to do the kirtan. And on the opening day, you probably wouldn't have slept. No one will have slept for 3, 4, 5 days in advance. But the kirtan will be blissful. That Radha Landanishwara temple, I was saying, that was, Srila Prabhupada said, has to be ready on this day. And Shama Sunda Prabhu was building it by himself, literally. Almost literally, doing all the work himself. I have to stand up now. And he had gone literally without sleeping for 3 days, working day and night for about 3 days. He went without sleep. He missed the opening ceremony. He was asleep. The human body has its limits. When Gandharvika Giridhari, the deities Radha, Krishna, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, brought them from the rented house in Ultadingi Road to the newly built temple at Bagh Bazar, then there was a long kirtan procession bringing the deities. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he composed a song especially for that occasion. Matala Harijana Vishayarange Pujala Ragapata Gauravabhange. So you see, the wild Harijan. Harijan means devotees. Matala Harijan Vishayarange. You might think, you see, Rangay means pleasure, Ranganathan. Happy God. That's what it means. Happy God. Happy in his pastimes. So Ranga, what do they have? So you might think he had to make the song Matala Harijan Kirtanarange. No, Vishayarange. Vishay means material activities. Vishay also, we were discussing that Vishay means Krishna, the object of our love. They were busy in apparently material activities, building temples, building buildings, bringing money, printing books, printing magazines, going here and there, meeting materialistic people, Vishayi, the word Vishayi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Vishayi sandarshanam, ata yoshitang cha ha hanta hanta, vishabhakshinatopya sadhu. For someone who's in the renounced order of life, he was referring to the attempts to have Prataparudra Maharaj introduced to him. So he said, Niskinchananam Bhagavad Bhakti, what is it? Niskinchana? Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhakti? Bhajanon Mukhasya Parang Parang Jigamisho Bhavasagarasya. Ha, hanta, hanta.
Ata vishayinam ata yoshitangscha ha hanta hanta vishabhakshanatopiyasata. To see these, for someone who has taken to the renounced order of life, who has nothing to do with this world, who is making his life in such a way that he is getting out of this material existence altogether, for such a person even to see a materialistic person or a woman is worse than drinking poison. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had his sannyasis meet with big important people, the governor of Bengal, kings. So, Matala Harijana Vishaya Range, they're absorbed in the active. But what are they doing? Pujala Ragapata. It's different from the, what we may say, traditional Vaishnavas of Bengal, the Gauriya Vaishnavas, who they will be absorbed. Radha Krishna Hridayate Sarvada Sevibe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instruction to Raghunath Das. Within living in Vrindavan, you always think within your heart 24 hours of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Serve Radha and Krishna, serve them in your heart. So that is the Ragapath, the path of spontaneous devotion to Radha and Krishna. That the Ragatmika devotees, those who are fully, they're spontaneously, naturally, we're talking about Yashoda, Nanda, Sridham, Sudham, the gopis, Radha, they're Ragatmika, their very being is composed of very strong love for Krishna. So there's Raga Anuga Bhakti, devotion following in that, following that spirit. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he regularly, we will worship those devotees who are engaged in this. We will worship them. Gaurava Bhangi. But by worshipping them, then this, by worshipping them, by serving them in this way, then we will Gaurava, this sense, this majesty, the sense of majesty will be broken, literally Bhangi, becomes broken. So we're worshipping in a marble temple. This is a stone granite building, and that's also stone marble and Bagh Bazar, Gauriya Mount. So very opulent. But that temple is meant for bringing the sweetness of Gauriya Vaishnavism to the people in the lure of attracting them with opulence and majesty. A few years ago came in one of the Tamil newspapers, the devotee showed me. Deen Dayal from Vellore, he went to the Rose Festival in, where is that? That's in Ercot, is it? Rose Festival. Where is that? One of the Uti, and Uttamakund, which is called Uti by the British. So he went there for distributing books, and someone had taken a photo, and little, not a report, just a little caption came, that at the Rose Festival, rose smells very nice. So he said he's bringing the sweetness of bhakti to the Rose Festival. Very nice comment, very just, very nice they saw that. The rose smells very sweet, but the bhakti, that is very sweet. So it's not only Gauriya Vaishnavism that's sweet. Yeah, especially in the, among the Sri Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavas, they know. Krishna is Madhuradipati. So this kirtan, the reciprocation, Krishna's giving, I can't imagine what it would be like on the final day if you're able to do kirtan, because you'll be busy in so many different services. I can say one thing from my own lifetime experience. One time I was in Bangladesh, and devotees had gone to America during the rainy season. Heavy rains there, you can't do much in the rainy season. They'd gone to America, and I was staying back looking after the temple, whatever that means. But I thought, I just don't want to sit here for 2 or 3 months. We have a big stock of books, let's take them out. And it was crazy. No, it wasn't going in the rains, heavy rain. I went up to Shillet district, which is the rainiest part. It's the hottest place in Bangladesh in the summer. It's the rainiest place in the rainy season, and it's the coldest place in the winter. Heavy rain. And then those days, anyway, taking the books and then trying to have some program, and some place we went, it was just raining continuously all day, and we were just sitting in a temple and people coming one or two every day, and we'd sell them books like that. So with great difficulty sold so many books. And then I was given permission after that to go to Vrindavan for 1 or 2 days, because Prabhu Vishnu Swami never wanted me to go to Vrindavan. I didn't go for years. He never wanted me to go because he thought I might run away from Bangladesh. So I was just there in Mangal Arati, and I just felt the mercy pouring as we were singing Gauravashtaka. I knew Krishna was pleased. So already the kirtans are blissful here, but they should get more and more blissful as there are more and more troubles. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport that you won't find Krishna loitering in a bush in Vrindavan. You go and bring a telescope or try and find where's Krishna. And we can just like the bird watchers, they bring a telescope. Probably now they use these cameras with focus lens. So from a distance you can get a photo of them. So you won't find Krishna in that way, trying to catch him. But Krishna, if we have that much devotion, we won't find him in Loy Bazaar also. Well, maybe he's there. Radha Damodar temple is just, so many temples are there, but not in the, they're all devotees, the shopkeepers also, but you get the point. It's the attitude with which we go to Vrindavan. So it's where there's service. Yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. Krishna is attracted by bhakti. Bhakti is stronger than Krishna. And bhakti is ahaituki, can be done in any place, not only in Vrindavan. So where we live in the mood of serving Krishna, that's always that becomes Vrindavan. Vrindavan manifests. So that great struggle, Srila Prabhupada, he manifested Vrindavan all over the world with great struggle. Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna to the whole world. So that great struggle for Krishna, that's the great mercy. There's great opportunity to get Krishna's mercy, and we can feel that, and we can find the reciprocation from Krishna. One time, Hari Kesh Maharaj was giving a talk in Mayapur during the festival, and the Soviet Union had opened up. And he said, there's no more bliss anymore. What do we do now to get the bliss? Because it used to be extremely dangerous for devotees in the Soviet Union. Now everything opened up, and devotees came to Calcutta, Mayapur for the first time. No more bliss. Of course there's bliss, but the bliss of literally risking your life, and some of these Soviet devotees were actually killed, tortured to death, but they didn't give up Krishna consciousness. So that great bliss is there. You're experiencing it. So when the temple's finished, what do you do? Where do you go to get the bliss? I could have told Hari Kesh Maharaj, come here. You can come to Salem. He'd be happy, actually. He's not happy now. Unfortunate what happened to him. What a service Prabhupada gave him. preaching in those countries. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he gave him the service of opening up China. It was impossible. He did it. Impossible. Somehow or other, he did. He was empowered. He opened that up. There's so many difficulties. Kunti Rani is praying. Vipada santu tashashvat tatra tatra jagad guru bhavato darshanam yat sad apuna bhava darshanam. We pray that there may be difficulties again and again. She's praying like that. Because if there are difficulties, then we see you. You have to come and look. You have to come and look after us. When there are difficulties, you have to come and look after us. If there are no difficulties, then we can sit and do bhajan. Hanuman is famous. What's Hanuman doing right now? Ram, 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 Ram. Hanuman's here. Maybe not when I chant Ram, but when anyone else chants Ram. Hanuman is there. Wherever there's Ram Katha, Hanuman is there. Otherwise he's sitting Ram, 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 Ram. He's not famous for chanting Ram, 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 Ram. He's famous for jumping over the ocean, burning Lanka, fighting in the battle. And now he's chanting Ram, 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 Ram. But the bliss is in Ram Leela. Now he's remembering it and helping us to remember. And sometimes he comes. That's happened a few times. It's even on YouTube. You can look it up. The sadhus are speaking Ram Katha and Hanuman comes. It happens several times. The monkeys come. They like to hear. They become attracted. They come and sit right, just like right here. They'll come and sit and listen. One time Bhaktisthan Saraswati, I have so many stories. Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur was speaking at the Vidyaharan Natya Mandir, the Sri Chaitanya Math. He was speaking there. I heard this story after I compiled that book. Heard it from a reliable source. So he was speaking Harikatha. And you know, in Bengal there are so many snakes, especially that's up still today. Sri Chaitanya Math is surrounded by rice fields. So many big snakes will be there. So he was speaking and men were sitting on one side and women on the other side, and there's an aisle in the middle, and all of a sudden some big snake comes up. Cobra. And there's big commotion. And just stop and keep quiet. I'm speaking Harikatha. So the snake comes right up, sits right in front of Saraswati Thakur and sits there like this, right in front of him. And Saraswati Thakur goes on speaking. And speaking and speaking. When he speaks, he speaks. You think I'm speaking too long? It's nothing. Then the Harikatha was over and the snake went down and went out. So these things are going on. These little, sometimes we see something and scientists will say, yes, well, actually you can understand that there was a blah, 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 blah. Yeah, if you're fortunate, Mr. Scientist, you'll become a snake and listen to Harikatha in your next life. Snake, yes. Harikatha, I don't know. You may get that or not. They're practicing hard. Young Vapi Svarimba. So what do we know about this? We have to make some scientific analysis. What happened? You see, the water fell on the earth, on the ramp, and then when the water mixed with, and then the molecules changed and became soft, and if you take the physics and the heavy, I mean, you don't need to understand. Anyway, you don't have to be educated to understand that they became soft and the heavy crane started to sink. So we don't need to. But what do we understand? You say the rain came, there was a depression, and this. Indra sends the rain. You can say there's a depression and there's a heavy build up on the Bay of Bengal. You can say all these things. But actually, there may be true. Yeah, we don't say it's not true. But there's Indra is behind it, and behind that is Krishna. So Krishna engaged Indra to demonstrate your devotion, to test your devotion. That who would know Hanuman was a great devotee if he was just sitting and chanting Ram, 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 Ram? But that became demonstrated when there was a need for service. He didn't hesitate. So in the same time, same way that these kind of incidents, where we pray for this kind of thing, we don't really want them to happen, because Kunti was praying, may we be in difficulty, so we remember, but we don't want Krishna's temple to be in difficulty. So we don't want this kind of thing, but you know it'll happen. And at that time, your absorption is just like completely absorbed. And what's that like? That's like Hanuman when he's fighting with whoever he's fighting, Kumbhakarna or whoever. He's fighting, and he's not thinking, I have to go and chant my rounds. He's completely absorbed. So at the same time, you're completely absorbed. At that time, there's no other thought in your mind, my wife, my children, my studies, nothing. So Krishna's arranging this kind of situation to help you to become completely absorbed and to demonstrate, others can see how you are absorbed. This is pure devotion, when you're just completely absorbed in thought of serving Krishna. Anyway, well, I'm not a pure devotee. We're talking about Krishna's Sangsaravasta. I've got the real, I mean, what from our point of view is Sangsaravasta. I have so many material desires in my heart. I don't think of Krishna all the time, but this absorption in building a house for Radha, that is the very means of your leaving. Oh, what is that in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? So now I don't remember. Takta Paryagar Archite Ganga. I can't remember exactly. So you left someone else's house and came to worship the Lord on the bank of the Ganga, because that temple of Bhagavata was just next to Ganga. I don't remember that song exactly. That was one of the lines. Because, yeah. So this absorption in building a house for Radha, that will decrease our desires for enjoying in this material world, which means ato griha kshetra sutapta vita, all these things, wife, bank balance, home, children, family, relatives, sutamita ramani samaje. And Krishna, he engaged Indra and Brahma and so many demons in creating so many disturbances in Vrindavan, one disturbance after another. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the cynosure of all eyes, but the material world is so contaminated that even in Vrindavan there are always disturbances. So, and there's no peace. Mother Yashoda, Krishna's out. You may say a peaceful life in the village, but she's always in anxiety. What will happen to Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada wrote in one place that practically every day some demon attacked. And one day there were two, right? There was Vyomasura, and then there was one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So then no peace. And then Ashantasya Kutasukam. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? You all know what that means? You all learned the verse. There's no peace, then how can there be happiness? So, what's all this about Vrindavan? There's no peace in Vrindavan. So where is the happiness? See, it's a logical thing, right? Ashantasya kutasukam. Where is the happiness for one who has ashanti, or non-peace? And no question. So, let's go to the Brahma Jyoti. Peaceful out there. Boring. And Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, once in a day of Brahma, Ayodhya gets disturbed. Otherwise you go to the eternal Ayodhya and all very peaceful, very nice. No one attacking. Unattackable. Ayodhya means non-attackable. Dwaraka, well, in Krishna's pastimes, time to time there would be Shalva caused a big disturbance, right? This Satrajit, the murder of Satra. So there are disturbances there, but generally the situation is very peaceful. However, the happiness of Vrindavan far surpasses that of Vaikuntha, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized a quarrel, if you're a debate, between Sarup Damodar, who was taking the part of the Rajavasis, and Srivas, who was taking the part of the Vaikuntavasis. When Lakshmi, she becoming upset with Jagannath because these Vajravasis stole him away. So she came and she and her followers, she sits on a big throne and has the servants of Jagannath, they're beaten by her maidservants. She shows, I'm the queen. So then Srivas is saying, you see, Vaikuntha is superior. Then Sarup Damodar, you got it wrong. You go to Vaikuntha. It's a South Indian. What do you expect? It's South Indian. I know your forefathers have been practicing that for years, but now you're at ISKCON Salem. This is Prabhupada's house for Radha. Tell the lizard. Can anyone speak lizard language? Krishna speaks. Okay. So Vaikuntha, Srivas was saying, and then Sarup Damodar was saying, the opulence of Vrindavan far surpasses that. And what to speak of the Brahma Jyoti? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to the Mayavadis at Varanasi, he quoted about the happiness of Vaikuntha, of devotional service in general. Tvat sakshat karanahlada vishuddhabdi stithasya me sukhani goshpadayante brahmanyapi jagadguru. He said that the happiness in the ocean of complete purity of service to Krishna, that happiness, yeah, it's like a great ocean, and the happiness of impersonal Brahman in comparison to that is like the water in a calf's hoofprint. And it's talking about Vaikuntha compared to Brahman. And Vrajasukh, it's not Vishuddhabdi. I should stop now. Anyway, all right, Hare Krishna. I'll go on tomorrow. Is that all right? Because you have to build the temple for Radha. When it's built, we'll sit and we'll talk so many things. But you have to. The boys have to study. So we'll continue tomorrow. I wanted to finish this topic of building a house for Radha, but it'll take at least 15 minutes more. Okay, all right, let's go on. All right, so, actually, no, it'll take at least half an hour more. Oh, it's Sunday! Coronavirus ki jai! Okay, I'm experiencing some difficulty. It's not back pain, it's bladder pain. So why don't we take a 5-minute break? Yeah, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he described the bliss of bhakti as being Vishuddhabdi Stita, situated in an ocean of the highest purity as compared to the Sukhani Goshpadayante Brahmani, the happiness of Brahman, which is like that of water in a calf's hoof compared to the ocean of bliss, Vishuddha bliss, topmost pure bliss. Which brings to mind also Yene Ravindaksha Vimukta Maninas Twayasta Bhavad Avishuddha Buddhaya. aruhya kritrena parang padang tata patantyadhanarita yushmarangaya. Persons who think they are fully purified, vishuddha, but who are not, they get to the position of purity in the parampad, in the spiritual world. That means they come to the Brahmajyoti after much struggle, much difficulty. But they fall down because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. So this Krishna consciousness is vishuddha. It's not just simply being free from the modes of material nature. It's not just simply being free from birth and death, being free from material attraction. But there's much more to it. There's the real shuddha, shuddha bhakti. Begins with anyabhilashita shunyam, being free from any personal desires, and Krishna anushilanam, serving Krishna in a way prescribed by the previous acharyas. So that's shuddha bhakti. But then, from the Vaikuntha perspective, we may say, well, Vrindavan is not vishuddha. Vaikuntha is vishuddha. That's when Narayana gets some funny ideas, then he goes to Vrindavan and does all these things, which it's just a headache. We're trying to preach to people to be Krishna conscious, and then these Christians, they come and say, you see, your Krishna does this and that, and it's immoral. It's not Vishuddha. It's a land of forbidden activities. He can get away with it because he's God. Otherwise, no one would let him get away with it. Up to the present day, if someone starts messing around with someone else's wife, at least in many countries of the world, including India, maybe outside of Bollywood, then beaten up, killed, like that. So it's forbidden activities. Very activities that would are not proper for God. That's what the Christians say. Even some so-called Ram bhaktas, they say that. See, our Ram is better than your Krishna because he does so many immoral things. The leader, Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita as it is purport, the leader and the teacher, they should be a very ideal person. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tata deveta rojana. Saya pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. Whatever a great person does, common people follow in their footsteps. Therefore, it's incumbent upon great people to act in a very moral way. Therefore, we are told we should not imitate the activities of Krishna, anukaran, but we should take shelter of them, anusharan. They are for serving, pujala ragapata. We are for serving the devotees at that level of spontaneous attraction. But it is a quandary. That quandary again can be dvidha. Paradox, quandary, similar words. It's just like some years ago, there was a very popular president of the United States of America by the name of Bill Clinton. He's still alive. He was very popular, seemed to be like a real nice guy, and his America was doing pretty well, doing pretty good at the time, and people were more or less happy with him. And he's a good-looking guy, smiles nicely, and looks like a genuine guy. Then it was found out that he had some illicit sexual connection with a woman much younger than him in his office. It means she was working in the White House underneath him. And then he lied about it. But it came out. So he should be, then there's a big uproar from his political opponents. He should resign. He's not fit to be president. He should be his immoral behavior. But on the other hand, people said that, well, he's doing a good job as a president. So why remove him? And eventually he stayed in office. And I believe he was That was in his first term, and he was elected for two terms. So he didn't mind so much. So you could say that shows this position of America's morality, and the present president is widely rumored to be much more immoral, but that didn't stop people voting for him to be the president. Anyway, they were saying he's not fit to be the president. How can you be the president if you don't set an ideal example? You see the analogy with Krishna being God. And the other people say, no, he's doing a very good job as president. So you can't say he should be the president, and you can't say he shouldn't be the president. Here we go. You can't say he should be the president and not be the president. You can't say he shouldn't be the president. It gets too much Buddhism around here. One good thing about Bill Clinton, he's not a Buddhist. So, where do we come? It's just like, you know, you don't want to talk about it. His supporters, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. He's a good guy. Nice guy. He likes our devotees. He's shown that more than once. So that's great quality for him. He's a good guy, nice guy, doing a good job as president. He just don't want to think about all that. So, you know, let him be the president and... It did make a difference in the nature of the presidency. Richard Nixon, Prabhupada spoke about him so many times because of his apparently immoral activities, in another way, not sexually immoral. But that changed the attitude of people toward the presidency because he was corrupt. And then Bill Clinton, it changed the presidency because by allowing that, it became tacitly acceptable that you can be a president and be immoral. And you see, the present president, he has no claim to be moral. Well, I mean, he can claim, but objectively speaking, there's no case for him being a very moral person. I'm talking about sexually moral here, not in so many other ways. So it degraded the status of the presidency. So what to speak of Krishna? Dharma sangsthapana arthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He should set the ideal example. Bill should have been thrown out for unacceptable behavior. We don't hate him by any means, but actually from an objective point of view, he should have been thrown out for unacceptable behavior. Then what to speak about Krishna? He's in a much more responsible position. And Bill had to go after 8 years. That's the law. But we're stuck with Krishna. He's not going to stop being God. Except when he's in Vrindavan, that's where you see it's a secret place. He does his secret things and no one knows about it. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and started broadcasting it to the whole world. It's a problem. I'm glad that he did, because otherwise I'd be doing my own samsara vasana instead of trying to serve Radha and Krishna's samsara vasana. You know, Krishna does it in another form. There may be that we have, there's a book, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by, can't remember the name, famous British author. Yeah. Dr. Jekyll, and I'm trying to remember the name now, but I won't remember it as long as I try to remember it. So Dr. Jekyll was a very moral person, being a doctor, which was highly respected at that time. But he invented some potion. By drinking it, his whole character changed and he became the worst kind of criminal. And then it would wear off and then again he'd become Dr. Jekyll. And when he was playing the other role, he would introduce himself as Mr. Hyde. And exactly what bad things he did, I can't remember. It's a story. But it's just like many novels, it has some message also. So Krishna, it's not that he's... Well, another thing, there was a famous murderer in Britain, in London, long ago. He was never caught. He was called Jack the Ripper because he used to catch prostitutes and kill them. I mean, they never found him. And one theory is that he was never found because actually he was a member of the royal family who used to go out of the Buckingham Palace and hunt down prostitutes and rape them and kill them. So it's a theory that you can't say anything about it. So is Krishna something like that? Well, he doesn't kill, but he has illicit affairs. It's called parakiya bhav. Parakiya means, para means other. So it's with someone else's wife, at least the show of that. If you look a little bit deeper into the tattva, you'll find that actually this Abhimanyu, who's supposed to be married to Radha, is the shadow of Krishna, and Krishna, during the 1 year that Brahma stole all the cows and calves, the calves and the cowherd boys, then Krishna, he took the form of all the cowherd boys. He went to his father, the king of Vrindavan, just at the beginning of this year and said, "Oh, it's a very auspicious year for all the young boys and girls to get married." So, and Krishna, in the form of the cowherd boys, married all those gopis. So actually, they were the later... Anyway, you can work it all out. So, but Krishna does it in another form. He doesn't come as four hands, Narayana, and play with the gopi. He does it in another form, and it's a very private place, and after all, he's the king, he's God, and he can do whatever he likes. But you can understand how the moral devotees, we're moral, we're not, that's the problem. Then you'll take Krishna's pastimes and become immoral. That is a problem in broadcasting these things, that people, instead of doing anusharan, instead of taking shelter of Krishna's seemingly immoral pastimes, they'll do anukaran, imitation. That is the danger. But we can understand how they insist Narayan is supreme. We cannot accept this Krishna doing these immoral activities, although secretly, or maybe not even very secretly, they are attracted to Krishna. Not only Vasudev Krishna, Krishna who's in Mathura and Dwaraka and Kurukshetra speaking Bhagavad Gita, they'll all admit, yes, Krishna, Krishna's pastime is very nice. But often they'll say, yeah, the butter-stealing pastime is very nice. Later on, we're not so sure. And some even say that, you see, Krishna was good when he was a child, and got a little older, then he became very bad. And this Brahma Kumari rascal say, he'll come again, and next time he'll be completely moral. They can't understand. They're attracted to it, but at the same time, it's just too much. We love the king, but is it really true? We love you, Bill, but is it really true? You had illicit sex with that girl. You can see there's a film of him saying, "I did not have sex with that woman." And later it was found he was lying also. So someone quipped that should let sleeping presidents lie. Very good pun. You have to know English to get it. So they're attracted. But they can't, it's just, they can't understand it, and it's just too much, and they're brought up in South India anyway, and you see. You're seeing, and we're just saying, what powerful effect of Ramanuja, even the lizards. They tick-tick, in Bengali they're called tick-ticky. They say, we say, Vaikuntha is supreme, tick-tick-tick-tick-tick. It's our parampara, that's what we were taught when we were kids. You see, we don't chant the Samaveda or the Yajurveda, but when someone says Vaikuntha is supreme, tick-tick-tick-tick. Very powerful Acharya Ramanuja. But they can't understand why they're attracted, because they should be repelled. It's something. No, it's not like that. I won't say it. I won't. Something, because when we're talking about these topics, we have to be very, very careful, because it's Krishna's esoteric pastimes, and if we say things, liable to be misunderstood. So I won't. There was something I was going to say, but I won't say it. But Jiva Goswami, today we're celebrating his, what is it, appearance day. Actually, it's Vamana Dwadishi also, and I should be speaking about Vamana, but I pray to Vamana Dev to forgive us, because the Radha Katha got extended. So Srila Prabhupada said, on Vamana Dwadishi, in the morning we can speak about Vamana Dev, in the evening we can speak about Jiva Goswami, or talk about his teachings. In those days, devotees never heard of the Sandarbhas. I presume that was for the future. Devotees are supposed to know and discuss his teaching. So, but Jiva Goswami substantiated that all these pastimes of Krishna, they are the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is nothing wrong. Not only is there nothing wrong, but it's right in the rightest sense. Otherwise, people kind of like it, but at the same time they can't understand it, and then they try to justify it, and they say things, well, in Krishna's pastimes, this symbolizes this, and that symbolizes that, and Krishna's stealing the clothes of the gopis, and the gopis were standing naked before him, that symbolizes that we have to be naked before God. When someone brought this explanation to Prabhupada, he didn't like it at all. And this is Mayavan. You're just trying to explain it away. It's like with Bill. Well, he's a good guy, but you know, he's a human being. And the son, yeah, actually, okay, in that sense, yeah. But as a human being, we can understand. If there's a pretty girl, it's hard to resist, especially when, anyway. But as the president, he shouldn't have done it. But it's embarrassing. But we're not embarrassed. On the other hand, I've been quoting that verse and I should have learned it by now, but I didn't, so I'll have a look at it. Parivadatu jana yata tata va nanu mukaro na vayam vicharamanaha vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutami natami niravishama. We're not embarrassed. We say, let people say what they think. Whoops, I shouldn't do that. I better sit down. Don't want to get too excited here. Not physically excited. So, let people say what they think. They can talk whatever they like, but we will be intoxicated with the wine of Hari Rasa. Krishna, Radha Krishna topics. And we'll roll on the ground and dance like madmen. So this, we're not embarrassed. We don't say, you say that God cannot be like that, and we say that God must be like that. If he's really God, he must be like that. And Srila Prabhupada describes in the Nectar of Devotion that one European scholar, I think he was referring to Sadananda, Ernest Schultz, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he came to India and he saw all the different temples, and when he came to Radha Krishna temple, you know, yes, this must be supreme, because all the others, they have some work to do. Your Murugan with his veil, his spear, that's for killing someone, he has some work to do. Then Shiva, he's meditating. So that means he's meditating on something or someone. Durga, 10 hands, all with weapons, fit for killing. I mean, she's killing someone. And Krishna, he's playing on a flute with Radha, looking very happy. So I understood, this is supreme. Durga's got 10 hands with weapons, very powerful, and the Krishna's only got 2 hands and he's playing a flute. Okay, he doesn't look very powerful, but they're worshipping him, so he must be God. He must be a God and he must be the Supreme because he's got nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samaschabhyadikas cha drishyate. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. God has got nothing to do. All his energies do it. Durga's one of his energies. Murugan's one of his energies. He's just enjoying himself. He must be God. So he understood. So this is God. He must be God. The highest understanding of God is that he does whatever he likes, and you can criticize as much as you like, and he doesn't care, and you can't do anything about it, and he goes on doing it. Fortunately, what he does is good. But first we should understand that you can't say that God can't do it. If you can do it, I'm not blaming you, but theoretically, Mr. Moralist, you could do it also. And I think many times these moral people, they're actually fascinated by the idea of doing something immoral. When I was a kid, I used to do this newspaper delivery. And there was one paper on Sunday only called News of the World. And it was mostly, the whole paper was full of different rape cases. Mostly reporting on rape cases and all this. And they were always, every report they'd say, very, very bad. But they'd report on this, and all the people reading it and saying, very, very bad. But there was, I think they must have been thinking, actually, I'd like to do that myself. Why are they so attracted to it? They'd never admit that they'd like to do it, but there's some attraction to that. So if you can do it, then Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishate. Krishna is the supreme complete. He can do. People will be shocked. They'll be scandalized. God is like that. No! He cannot be like that. But then as soon as you say God cannot be like that, then you become an atheist. So we say not only is Krishna having pastimes with Radha, apparently illicit, but that this is the proof that he is God in the Supreme Aspect. You are complaining, no, he cannot be like that. That's very sinful. You go to hell if you do that. But, by hearing about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, then not only do we not go to hell, but we become purified from the sinful propensity of wanting to do such things ourselves. As is stated by Shukdev Goswami, Vikriritam Rajavadhu Biridang Cha Vishnu. Again, use the word Vishnu. Remember Vishnu, he's God. If you say Krishna, you may say, Krishna. Rascal, they may say. Vishnu. Vikriritam Vrajavadhu. Vrajavadhu means the wives living in Vrindavan. Idam cha Vishnu. Shradhanvita. Shradhanvita anushrunayad atavarnayadyaha. Whoever hears this with suitable faith or describes it, bhakti param bhagavati. They attain to the topmost devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pratilabhya kamam hridrogam ashva pahinotya chirena dhira. Then, I'll read the whole translation. I'll read the whole verse also. Vikriyudam vrajavadhu biridam cha vishno shudhanvitonu shrunayad atavaneyadhyaha bhaktin parang bhagavati. Pratilabhya kamam hridrogam ashva pahinotya chirena dhira. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. For someone who's trying to become sober, dhiraha, the worst thing they can do, it's just a complete killer for someone who's trying to become spiritually advanced, is to hear about lusty affairs. The Muni, what's his name? Saurabh Muni? Sobari Muni. Just by seeing fish engaged in sexual affairs, his mind became attached to lusty affairs. Chavan Muni, doing such austerities, just saw a beautiful girl, princess, and desired to enjoy her. So very, very dangerous. Ata vishayinam ata yoshitangscha. If anyone even sees one who's trying on the path of renunciation, he's trying to become spiritually advanced, if he even sees a materialist or one who is attracted to woman, it's worse than drinking poison, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Stri sangi ek asadhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. But if we hear about Krishna's pastimes like this, then we become purified. So it's different altogether. So Jiva Goswami, he was elaborating this point by point in his Sandarbhas, how Krishna, first of all, we have to accept Vedic evidence, we have to accept Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to accept that Bhagavan is the subject of Bhagavatam, this is how Bhagavan is Bhagavan, Bhagavan is Krishna, this is how we do devotion to him, and finally we come to love is the highest, and Radha. There's Tattva Sandarbha, and Bhagavad Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, then Preeti Sandarbha. Then as far as the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then when you've been through all the Sandarbhas, then we can really go to Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we can go to Govinda Lilamrita, Ujvala Nilamani, and so many, Krishna Bhavanamrita. And so many literatures are there, which Srila Prabhupada actually said, we should read them, but Shradhanvito Anushrunayad, we should hear them with suitable kind of faith. Regarding this verse, this Vikriyatam Vrajavadhu Biryangchav, Srila Prabhupada said about hearing these pastimes, he said, if you feel that there's any material lusty desiring, stop. That's the test. And some of the pastimes of described in the Goswami literature is very, very intimate in a way that if we could be distracted by that. So we have to be careful in this matter. So I've been talking about building a house for Radha and Krishna. How you're struggling, you're feeling such bliss in the struggle. Saraswati Thakur said that when he was asked why he was building so many temples, well, there are already so many other temples. They still go on today. Why are you building temples? You should build a hospital or a school, feed the poor. Why are you building new temples? He said, we need a place where we can speak what we need to speak without anyone putting restrictions on us. We have certain things to speak, but we can speak freely what we need to tell others. So this temple you're building, it's for preaching this message ultimately. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. So ultimately it's for preaching all these things. In the beginning we're not going to say such things. But when people come, we'll give them Gita and Krishna book. They can read about Radha and Krishna. So everyone here is focusing on this. And the boys in the Gurukul, they're building up their spiritual knowledge, so that they can also preach these things. And it's not just those who are directly engaged in building we can see the cooks, the pujaris, everyone is completely absorbed in service to Krishna. Therefore, you see the pujaris, they're running here and there to get there on time and completely absorbed. You see this Satchipudra, he's not a big scholar, he never will be, but what does he need to be? He's just day after day after day, year after year, just absorbed in his service to Gauranitai. So the kirtans are blissful because it's the service mood. The kirtans are very simple compared to, you have these kirtan melas and all these fancy tunes, but very simple. But it's the reciprocate Krishna is manifesting. The musical ability does not make kirtans blissful. It's not a performance. It's praying to Krishna. Krishna, please help us. How are we going to build this temple? What a silly idea to build a huge temple in a place like Salem where there's, where's all the money going to come from and who's interested and how are you going to do it? We never thought in a stone temple and, all right, let's do it. Krishna, please help us. And help us, praying all the time. Help me to serve you. It's hard. We need your help. We always have to pray for your help. And so it's going on and on and on like this. And eventually the house for Radha and Krishna is manifesting. It's not easy, no doubt about it. So this house that you're building for Radha, it's a place where we can assist her in, it's her samsara, for fulfilling the samsara vasana of Krishna. It's a place where we're building all this, not that we will live in the house as the proprietor. This man at the back is building a house, he's the proprietor. He will enjoy it. That's his idea. He will enjoy the income. But we are not here to enjoy, we're not building it to be the proprietor. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. That's also in Ishopanishad. Everything belongs to Krishna, right? Yeah, what is it? Ishavasyamidam sarvam. Everything is under idam, this world, here. Everything is under his control. We have no right to try to enjoy that. So this temple is for demonstrating that you have your house, all right, you have your house. We are living, those of us who are living here in the ashram, we don't have wives, we don't have children, but we're living in someone else's house. It's Radha and Krishna's house, but they're accepting us, and we're here to serve them. So to show that, make every house into a place of service to Krishna. We're doing it on a big scale, you do it on a small scale, you do it in your house. So it's for preaching this, to make every house Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan, he was peacefully living there, accepted so much struggle, to make the whole world just like Vrindavan. Vrindavan means the service mood, anyabhilashita sunyam, and expanding that more, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, Nishidacha kutinati jibe hingshan la puja pratishtadi jata upashaka gon. So in Vrindavan there is Nishidacha, that which is against worldly morals, but in Vrindavan it's completely pure. But we shall not do worldly wrong behavior. We are worshipping Krishna who is attached to Radha, but we who are given the responsibility, accepted the responsibility of representing Radha and Krishna in this world, that's what it is. That's the responsibility you're getting. To represent Radha and Krishna in this world. We pray to Srila Prabhupada, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale. We offer our respect to you, or of the same platform of Vishnu, very dear to Krishna in this world. He's representing Krishna in this world. So we, to the people of Seda who comes, we're representing Krishna to the world, Radha and Krishna to the world. So no nishidacha, no wrong behavior, no meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, no duplicitous dealings. Krishna and Radha may do so in their pastimes, but we don't do. In the world, we may have to do sometimes, but that's the way the world is. But generally, our behavior should be such that people will see that we're not doing anything for ourselves. We haven't built this place so that people can come and give money and we'll live very peacefully. Jibe Hingshan, we have to teach all these things to the people. No, don't cause harm to anyone in any way. La Puja Pratishtha, we're not here for becoming financially well-to-do, becoming respected, getting a big position in the world, only for serving Krishna. And if we do like that, then Radha and Krishna will be very pleased to appear. Yayata maṁ prapadyante. Krishna reciprocates. He'll be very happy to appear, not begrudgingly. He himself will want to come. And there you see his hand. He's helping you. He's helping. Do you not see his hand in so many ways? So, when we do something like this, not like building a temple for Krishna, is like something you do every day, but if you see how Krishna reciprocates, and devotees who really try to do something very substantial for Krishna against all odds of the world, they see how Krishna arranges things and reciprocates and speaks to people within their heart and what you might call coincidences, but it's not coincidences, because when one happens after the other, after the other, after the other, you know, Krishna is there, he's reciprocating. Krishna wants, he'll want to appear by our pure devotion. We may say, I'm not a pure devotee, but then Srila Prabhupada came to this world to give us that, and by giving us so many engagements, he engaged us on the platform of pure devotion, just like Ramanuja, he built temples, renovated temples, he's a pure devotee, he does it, and we're doing it, we're not pure devotees, but by doing it, we become pure devotees, by engaging in that activity. Peshash Kritanyai, the wasp catches an insect, binds it up, by meditating on that insect, by meditating on the wasp becomes just like that. Or another example given in the Upanishads, you put hot iron into fire and it acts just like fire. You touch it to anything and it will burn. So by putting ourselves in the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual activities, we become spiritualized. We come to the platform where we become the Krishna is very pleased to accept our service. One more thing I'll say. It's unusual for me, you may think, that I'm talking all these topics, Radha Katha. I have more for tomorrow. So. Sorry, I don't know if I should say so many things, but I only plan to speak the day before Radhashtami and more and more things are coming. I didn't plan it like this. Probably I'll get criticized. Why are you speaking so many things about Radha? It's so much above the head. Who are you? You don't understand it yourself. Well, I did admit I don't understand it myself, but it's coming anyway. But I can think it's because all of you are serving so selflessly that some inspiration is there for me. Srila Prabhupada, he several times gave the example talking about money. He said, money is everywhere. You just have to know how to catch it. There's so much money in the world, you have to know how to catch it. So it's the same thing. Love of Krishna is everywhere. You have to know how to catch it. Srila Prabhupada taught us how to catch it. There's a there's a process, just like electricity is everywhere, but there's a process to harness it and utilize it. So in the same way, the science of devotion, there's a process, hearing, chanting, following principles, surrendering, taking association. First thing, Atah Guruvashrayas, taking shelter of a guru, Krishna Dikshanu Shikshanam, Vishrambena Guru Seva, taking initiation from a guru, taking instruction from a guru, serving with affection. All these processes are there. So, if we follow all these things, we should be getting something as we go on hearing, learning about the science of Krishna on Srila Prabhupada's order, preaching that, performing kirtan, discussing these topics in the association of devotees, Srimad Bhagavatartanam Ashvado Rasikai Saha. We have to discuss these things among the devotees. If I was doing a public program, I wouldn't be speaking all these things. Nowadays, everything is public, but anyway, the general public would not be in the slightest bit interested in all these topics. So only people who are already devotional, they will start to hear all these things. So where am I going from here? Still a bit more to say. So, by doing all these things, what should happen? We are from this samsara. We have samsara vasana, material desires in the heart. But Srila Prabhupada, he's teaching us. He's teaching us that we should love Krishna. How we can come to Krishna. So by his mercy, yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hriyata prakashante mahatmanaha. Something, when we perform devotional service with faith in Krishna and faith in Srila Prabhupada, faith in the Guru, then by their mercy, all the inner purports of what they're talking about, then that becomes manifest. Particularly, what is that becomes manifest? Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Srupam Rupam Tasyagaram Urupurim Maturim Goshtava Vartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Guruntam Natos. By the mercy, by the profuse mercy of the Guru, then at least the hope or the desire should arise in our heart for chanting the holy name, the best of names, the best of mantras, for attaining the service and association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Swarup Damoda, of Rupa Goswami, of Sanatana Goswami. For Mathura, Vrindavan, for Radha Kund, for Govardhan, for Radha and Madhava, that desire, that hope, at least that hope is there. One verse I learned many years ago, I heard it from Bhakti Charaswami, must have been maybe late 1970s, on late early 1980s, I learned that, I believe he had heard it from Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. It's from Chaitanya Chandramrita. Yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeta bhaktin krita punya rashi tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmad radha padam bhoja sudambu rashi. That as feelings for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yata yata gaura padara vindeta bhaktin krita, when one becomes so fortunate that one is worshipping the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then at some point the like a flood the ocean of feelings for Radha also arise within the heart. So, as it happened, I was in Bengal in my youth, and in preaching or attempting to preach among Bengali people who are Vaishnavas by birth, just like you have in South India, Vaishnavas by birth, Sri Vaishnavas, Madhva. So I had to learn Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, so many things, and Narottam songs and so many things. Because people would come to me and they would say things like, well, what do you think about this? Say some verse, and then I'm supposed to know what it means. If I don't know what it means, then who am I preaching? They know more than I do. So I had to learn all these things. Just like here in South India, it's not so common now, but people just walk up to you on the street or if you're some public program and then someone asks a question with such and such Upanishad, it says this, and then you're supposed to know. So in so many people would know. So I had to learn that. I became acquainted. I found that very nice, had a taste for that. And since that time, I've been, like so many devotees, reading about, hearing about, thinking about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there should be some effect there also, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is Radha Bhava Dyoti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam Radha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. So that's my excuse. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Charkipa Sindhubha Evacha Patita Anam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. By all your association in your building a house for Radha, it's a house in which the whole world can live. Bring everyone. Hare Krishna.